7, UNLV Runner Rebels 73. Welcome back to another edition of Rebel Extra, the post-game show devoted to you, the fans and supporters of Runner Rebel Basketball. Rebel Extra is brought to you by our proud sponsors, Angel Park Legacy in Durango Hills, OV Sports' most complete golf course experiences in Las Vegas, Diamondback Land Surveying, from brick walls to the Taj Mahal. Diamondback Land Surveying are your land surveying experts. 8-Ball Bail Bonds, if you had more fun at the game than the law allows, call 8-Ball Bail Bonds to get you out of jail. Pizza My Dear with a smoke and lunch deal, a 12-inch pizza for only $5. With two locations to serve you, go to pizzamydear.com. We come to you after every game this season. If we want to hear from you, Las Vegas, give us a call, 364-1100. Or you can text your thoughts at 69187. Preface your text with ESPN. Before I go any further, let me introduce my broadcast team. To my left, turning all the dials, keeping us glued together tonight, is Mark Seidel. He'll also be taking your calls at 364-1100. To my right, joined by the man you hear him every day on Cofield & Company, and that would be John Von Tobel. John, tonight's theme, reality check or fluke? I'll make my case as the show goes on. I'm a little concerned tonight was not a fluke.
I definitely think today was a reality check, and this is the team that they have, right? And when they face their best backcourt that they face so far, and essentially maybe you could argue the best team that they face so far, there's an argument maybe TCU is better, but this is what happens. You know, ASU coming in, they're a jump shooting team. They're a three-point shooting team. We knew that. And UNLV had no answers defensively. And I think you might get used to seeing this because guess what? You got Duke coming up next. You got Kansas further down the road. It's going to get pretty ugly. Yeah, Oregon on the road. It's going to get pretty ugly, and you might want to get used to seeing performances like this because the talent level is with those teams is a lot bigger.
I had two keys that I wrote down before the game. One, stay in front of your man. We talked about how the Rebels had a penchant for getting beaten off the dribble. I even saw it in the Dakota Wesleyan game. Guards beating us off the dribble. That was a concern of mine because I knew ASU would start four guards. And any guard that'll play for Bobby Hurley is going to be probably better than average. The second thing is close out on the shooters. We know that ASU had a team that liked to shoot a lot of threes, or 4-3. I hadn't actually seen them play yet. But this is what I know about Bobby Hurley coach teams. They're going to make hustle plays. They're going to get to 50-50 balls. They're going to make the opponent work for everything. They're going to get on the floor. They're going to even contest your entry passes. They did all of that tonight. But what really set this game apart was the fact that they got off the bus, started shooting threes. It was 4-0 UNLV. But then ASU went on a 20-2 run. And what bothers me most is most of those threes were fairly well open. I didn't see a lot of hands and faces. I didn't see guys getting into the shooter. I saw guys getting out to the perimeter late.
And you know what's most frustrating about it, too? Guys like Trey Holder, who's just jacking up threes. He's a 29% shooter from beyond the arc, and he is sinking them. I think he started, I believe, 3 of 6. I mean, it's amazing, and it's frustrating. And you're right, because you saw it against Southern Utah. There was wide open shooters there, and they were playing the zone in the first half a little bit, and Southern Utah found some open creases in that zone. And then tonight, the Rebels go to the zone again, and I know you mentioned before the show they broke it at about 440 is when Menzies decided to dip out of it in the first half.
Right.
But before they did, I mean, Arizona State was finding the holes in it, and they were putting them up, and they were sinking them.
I understand why Coach Menzies went with his own defense tonight. I believe Arizona State had the quickness advantage. When they led by 10, the Rebels were sort of hanging around. They were down by 14, then they were down by 10. With 4:40 to go in the first half, Coach switched to a man defense for UNLV. What does ASU proceed to do from that point? Oh, by the way, just 3 seconds later, Trey Holder got his third foul. Not to worry. Arizona State goes on a 14-3 run to close out the rest of the half, including an 8-0 run to close out the half. 13 threes in the first half alone. UNLV, 0 field goals in the last minutes, 4 minutes and 53 seconds. And before we get to Kevin, the first caller of the night, what's up with all the traveling, JVT?
Man, how frustrating. 5
in the first half and at least a couple in the second half.
See, by our count, I was with Steve Cofield down at Born and Raised. And he had 8 of their first 9 turnovers were travels. Yeah. I mean, that's insane. And a lot of it was, you know, and I'll call out one guy like Jovan Mooring, who I've had his back for a while. A couple of them were just attacking the basket but having no plan whatsoever once you get to the low post. And then you get stopped up and then you travel and, of course, going the other way. And it wasn't just him. It was Uche. It was probably one of the more frustrating things because we've seen this team shoot themselves in the foot before. And you can't do that, especially when you're on the road. And travel calls like that, that's insane.
Well, we talked about that last show, and I talked about it on Mitch and Pritch Tuesday. The turnovers have been an issue, and not all of them are forced. You've got traveling, illegal screens, charging, all sorts of things. Add it all up, and the Rebels get beat tonight by 24 to a team. And this is part of the reality check, John. I don't think Arizona State will even be 500 this year, not in the Pac-12. And overall, they will not be 500. So we'll let that play out. That's a conversation for a different day. But as always, this is a caller-based show. We want to hear from you, Las Vegas. 364-1100, your chance to react. Rebels fall to 5-3. They lose tonight to Arizona State 97-73. Let's get the ball rolling. Let's go out to the phone lines. We're joined by Kevin. Kevin, thanks for checking in tonight. You're the first caller on Rebel Extra.
Hey, guys, how about one positive comment and then two critical comments? You ready?
Go ahead.
All right, first one is, you know what? Sometimes you get your butt kicked, and you play long enough, you get your butt kicked. And they weren't healthy tonight, and no excuses, and that's kind of what happened. They just, you know, you get your butt kicked once in a while. How about that?
Okay, well, you're never going to like the way you lose, but yeah. I will tell you that I brought up a word, maturity, a couple of shows ago, and I'm going to give a glaring example of where somebody who's supposed to be a leader on this team showed glaring immaturity tonight. Go ahead, Kevin.
Two critical comments. One, you guys probably can't really elaborate on this, but you know, I was listening to the game on the radio, and the guys that are calling the name are calling the game are being very critical of Bobby Hurley because he was leaving the starters in there with about 4 minutes to go. Well, you know what? UNLV and Arizona State, they recruit the same type of player, and they go after the same players. So, you know what? If you're getting your butt kicked and you don't like it, you need to stop it because I don't have any issue with Bobby Hurley playing his starters with 2 minutes to go. If you're up 40, you use that as a recruiting tool come May when you go into a guy's house and say, you know what, you're thinking about going to UNLV? We beat UNLV by 30. We're up 35 on them, okay? That happens in basketball.
Well, and Bobby Hurley had just lost to Kentucky by 46. You know that didn't sit well with him. So, and I don't think all their starters were in with three or four. Maybe two or three of their starters were in, but not all of them. I don't. But keep on going, Kevin. What's your final thought?
Last thing, then I'll let you guys go. Last thing. We were talking about Dwayne Morgan the other night where he needs to play like 27 to 32 minutes a game. He fouled out with 11 minutes to go, right? So last year it was an issue. You guys have talked about that. There's too much money involved with all this thing. There's too many coaches that whose jobs are on the line. I'm sure Dave Rice and his four assistants tried to talk to Dwayne Morgan about staying in the game. I'm sure, you know, Marvin Menzies and his four assistants have talked to him about staying in the game. So I don't rip college players, but does this come down to is he not coachable? You have to stay on the floor. I mean, bottom line, you have to stay on the floor. When you foul out with 11 minutes to go in the game, you're not coachable. You got to stay in the game. Can you guys say something about
that?
Well,
let me respond to that. Stay on the line, because I just teased it a minute and a half ago by saying I'm going to reflect on the word I used, immaturity, and draw a glaring example. And Morgan was fairly productive tonight when he was on the floor, 11 points, 9 rebounds. But he picks up his third foul at the 18:43 mark just into the second half. He's late to get out on Trey Holder, bites on a pump fake, and fouls him. A minute later, he picks up his fourth foul because he's climbing over somebody's back to get a rebound. A dumb foul. 5 minutes later, he gets beaten off the dribble because he doesn't move his feet, and he reaches in and fouls out with 11 minutes to go. You've got to be smarter than that. There's no way to sugarcoat this other than that if I've heard people imply that Dwayne Morgan is the leader of this team. Really? Then act like it. Final word, Kevin, then we got to move on.
All I'm saying is this, and I won't agree with you just to agree with you on your show, Bernie, but if I'm Marvin Menzies, I'll say, hey, Dwayne, you know what? If you don't play 32 minutes a game tonight, we're going into the game. We get back to the Thomas and Mack or wherever we practice next week, and I'm going to run your butt into the ground. Just stay in the game. You're a cheerleader when you're on the bench. You understand that? You are a cheerleader. You didn't have to pay to get into the game.
Here's the key, Kevin. The Rebels weren't going to win if Morgan played all 40 minutes. But here's the key. We want to see this team improve. Right. I don't want to see the same immature mistakes over and over, especially for a third-year player.
All right, guys. Have a good show.
I appreciate your insights.
I'm not sure if I'm on this train, the anti-Dwayne Morgan train, just because...
Wait, I'm not anti-Dwayne Morgan. I'm calling out a specific performance tonight.
I'm going more towards Kevin's call of where, you know, if I'm Marvin Menzies, I'm taking him to the gym or running him into the ground.
You
relax a little on that, just because we also forget, obviously, tonight wasn't a great performance, and when you foul out with 11 minutes left, that's, you know, you can't do that. You can't do it. I'm with you on that. But we also forget that he has been their best defensive player up until this point. It's not like he hasn't
forget that.
You know, it's not like he hasn't been this guy who just keeps having these foul issues and he's not performing in any other. I mean, we forget about the Southern Utah game already. He was awesome in the Southern Utah game. And granted, he's gotten better with his fouls. He used to foul out all the time.
He better be awesome in the Southern Utah game.
Well, no, I get but I'm just saying it's it was a bad game today, but he's also been by far their best defensive player, and I think you chalk this up to his bad performance tonight. Obviously, you don't want it, but I'm not going to punt on Dwayne Morgan and be like, hey, we're running him into the ground. He needs to learn. You're going to sit. It's one game.
Well, fair enough. I'm not interested in throwing out the baby with the bathwater. They very much need Dwayne Morgan on this team. I've complimented Dwayne over 3 years. Mm-hmm. I think he's an energy guy. He's not a stats guy. My teeth itch every time he drives the lane and tries that drop step. He does not have, your imitation, I wish people could see what you just did. It's actually a very good imitation because as you go to the hole, you drop the ball down low. Mm-hmm. And there's an old saying, the lower the ball is, the taller your defender gets. He got the ball slapped. Bobby Hurley knows that. He sees it on film, or he'll put the ball on the floor one last time. This team needs Dwayne Morgan, especially when you don't have Chekna Dembele yet, who I think is potentially very good, and Christian Jones, who's been in a walking boot in perpetuity. We need those guys. Mm. And if Dwayne Morgan's not going to be on the floor, this team's going to have serious problems because Arizona State had no real interior presence tonight, but you knew that going in. The problem is that I think we have real trouble with backcourts because the backcourt sets everything up. Now, to be fair and to be objective, I think Dwayne Morgan is a key cog on this team. Yep. He'll be counted on heavily. He's done a lot of good things thus far. Tonight, when he got 3 fouls in 7 minutes, and they were dumb fouls, I want to believe you're better than that, Dwayne. So you got a week to figure it out against Duke.
Whose front court is getting healthy now.
Oh, goodness. Two of the three. Yeah. Well, that's a conversation for a different day. But, again, John, I'm with you. I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Dwayne Morgan is a key component to this team, but we need him to think. You know, a dumb guy will get you beat, a weak guy will get you beat. Dwayne's a good player. He just has to play like it.
Yeah, and like I said, the contributions he's had on the defensive end, I don't think a lot of the games the Rebels needed him defensively. And like you said, he's not a stat guy. When you watch him, that's where he actually puts in his best work, when you actually watch what he does on the court. And so... hopefully, let's chalk this up to his bad game. Hopefully, the fouls start to taper off even more. And because, like, was it Southern Utah or the game before? Or Western Kentucky? He got 4 fouls, but he stayed in the game and played really well with those 4 fouls.
We talked about that. He had to come out with his 4th foul a minute in, but he had 9-10 solid minutes.
He's improved in that manner. So he's still going to have his old bugaboos pop up here and there.
Let's go back out to the phones. We're joined by Cameron. Cameron, thanks for checking in tonight on Rebel Extra.
Thanks, guys. First of all, I just wanted to raise the point that you guys recall what happened last time we went to ASU?
It was 77-66, very much so. Correct?
Yeah, it was.
Trey Holder was there. Yep.
Yeah, we lost by 22. That was in Dave Rice. Okay. Dave Rice's 4th season. So, you know, they've had our number. I'm not going to, you know, say that this is, you know, the doom and gloom or the end of this season. You know, tough spot for us. With ASU needing a win coming off that Kentucky loss, and again, if it happened to Dave Rice in his 4th season, I won't hold it against Coach Menzies in his 1st season. The bigger point, I think this team just really needs to get an identity of some sort, and because of the situation with Menzies taking over so late, I think it would have been really hard for him to pick up really good offensive players that can score at a high level. You know, those players weren't around for him to pick up. And it seems to me that this team needs to make, you know, defense its calling card. The problem with that is that Jalen Poizer is this team's best player, or best scorer at least, and Jalen Poizer is not a good defender. And I, it's kind of a rock and a hard place for Menzies and for this team, because I think we have some guys who can play some defense, but unfortunately, I think that doesn't include Poyser. So, you know, and tonight the defense just wasn't there, and, you know, they got hot, and it was just a terrible, terrible mix for us.
Well, I said earlier in the show, and I've said this 1,000 times in my radio life, you're never going to like the way you lose. And the thing that stands out to me tonight is the repeated mistakes and the inability to recognize and switch on defense, to close out on the shooter on the perimeter. I'm not going to blame Coach Menzies. I think it's a fairly well a miracle what he did to cobble together a team that competes, and these kids do compete hard. I'll give them that. But you brought up a point, Cameron. What's their identity? Their identity is simple. They like to jack up shots. They jacked up another 22 three-pointers tonight. And I didn't see a lot of good ball movement. I didn't see a lot of good passing. I didn't see much drive and kick. And we don't have any kind of high-low game because we don't have an inside presence. So our identity is going to be jack up threes, and when we're against Northern Arizona and Southern Utah, we look really good.
Yeah, and another thing I'll add is, you know, Poyser, you know, is one of those offensive players who needs to be in the game but isn't real good on defense. I think Green is another one of those guys. Tyrell Green's been one of our best offensive players outside of Poyser, and he's also not so stellar on defense. I noticed multiple of those three-pointers in the first half where he wasn't closing out on his guy. You know, I'm not trying to call him out. There was problems all around on defense, but you know, I think that when two of your best players in Poyser and Green, as far as the offense goes, aren't really there on defense, it's going to be tough.
Thanks again. Appreciate you checking in, Cameron. Look, John, I do not think ASU is a great team. I think we made them look great tonight, and I think they got hot. Their tallest player on the floor most of the night was 6'6".
Mm.
So how do they make up for it? Good spacing, good ball movement, knockdown threes, drive and kick. Give them credit. They ran what they wanted to do, and when they got the open looks, which was early and often, they took advantage of them, and they happened to make them.
You talk about them jacking up shots. How much do you think that was them just falling into an early deficit? Because we talked right before we came on the air about right at the beginning of the game, they were finding guys wide open underneath the basket, and they were actually making some pretty nice passes, and that's how they started scoring, and they kept it close. What was the close? I know you have the numbers in front of you. What was the closest that they made it? Someone in the first half.
It was 34-29 at one point, yeah, the Rebels. Yeah.
So, and that was during Arizona State's barrage of threes that they just kept hitting, and during that 20-2 run that you mentioned. So, like, they closed it to a certain gap, and it was because I thought that they were moving it. And one of the big things, and I know you like to hit on this a lot, is free throws. In the first half, they had, what, 12, 13, 14 free throws?
They actually shot, well, in the first half, the Rebels actually shot 20 free throws.
Yeah, so they were attacking. So I think tonight, when it came to them jacking up shots, like you said, I think a lot of it had to do with they were in a big deficit, and they just, all right, you know what, we're going to try to get this back in every possession, which you don't want to do. But I think they showed in the first half that they can actually move the ball a little bit and attack and draw fouls.
Fair enough. The question is, do you have enough possessions over the course of a game to repeat success? And if we're trying to jack up shots just to get back in a game, that comes back on the maturity thing. Chuck Daly, who was a brilliant coach for the Pistons for years, his whole thing was start with a stop, start with a stop. Defense, defense, defense. What set up Arizona's offensive, for my way of thinking, from what I saw tonight, what my eyes told me, what really started to set up Arizona State's offensive wave was their tenacious, aggressive defense. That set the tone for offense.
Yeah.
And again, the shots just happened to drop. They went nuts in the first half. I mean, they made 13 first-half threes, and to a great degree, again, a lot of those were simply just wide-open shots.
Yep, and you're right, because there were, and off the top of my head, there was a possession with Tyrell at the top of the key where, you know, the guy he's defending gets a screen and he doesn't switch over in time and he leaves him enough space.
Exactly right, John.
Up. Yeah, and there was plenty of those tonight. So there were defensive gaffes everywhere.
And we got on the floor with a little bit better team from a major conference on their floor outside of the friendly confines of the Thomas and Mack. Couple of bright spots tonight. Look, Jalen Poyser has won me over as a scorer. He is a legitimate scorer. He had 20 points tonight, 6 for 6 from the free throw line. Tyrell Green, 18 points, 9 rebounds. Dwayne Morgan, again, he was very productive when he was on the floor, 11 points, 9 rebounds. Chris Clyburn off the bench with 12 points.
With the flu?
with the flu. Want a silver lining, John? Here's one for you. The Rebels bench outscored the Sun Devils bench 18-5. So there's that.
Hey, you got to take your wins, right?
Just looking. Exactly.
You think Bobby Hurley is like, hey, you know what? Their bench outscored us. This is garbage. What a terrible game for you guys.
I think Bobby Hurley was happy with his team's effort. And again, the shots, everything looks better when the shots drop. The Rebels shot 61% the other night at Southern Utah. Everything looks good when your shots drop. And, Arizona State actually shot 50% from the floor tonight, but it was 50% from three-point line, 18 to 36. That was really probably the key difference in the game, but that only tells part of the story. All right, we're going to take a quick break. He's John Von Tobel. I'm Bernie Fratto. UNLV falls on the road tonight at Arizona State, 97-73. They'll lick their wounds. They come back in a week and play Duke. But we've still got a lot more show for you. We come back on the other side. We're going to talk to Mark Anderson, beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He was at the game tonight. So don't go away, folks. Stick with us. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Text the show by sending ESPN to 69187 or give us a call at 364-1100. This is Rebel Extra.
We're back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Bernie Fratto, John Von Tobel, Mark Seidel producing tonight. Give us a call, 364-1100, or text your thoughts, 69187. Please preface with ESPN. Rebels fall 97-73 to a physical Arizona State Sun Devil team. At this time, we're joined by beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, who was at the game tonight, Mark Anderson. Mark, what is your initial knee-jerk reaction to what you saw tonight?
It was a combination of Arizona State just got extremely hot, and UNLV didn't do the proper defense to try to limit that damage. So it was a combination of the two, and Marvin Menzies kind of let his team have it in the locker room afterward that they got to be better prepared than this. But he also noted that with the illnesses and the injuries they've had, that they haven't been able to prepare and practice quite the way they want to, and they're hoping this week, with a full week to prepare for Duke, that they'll finally be able to do that again.
Clyburn had the flu, I guess?
That's what it sounds like. He had an illness. It was Menzies didn't specify what illness, but Tyrell Green called it the flu. So, he played 25 minutes, and Menzies said he considered sitting him, but he didn't regret putting him out there. He just wasn't. And Clyburn actually shot the ball pretty well, 5 for 9,
yeah, 12 points.
Scored 12 points.
Yep.
So, he played with some energy, but he and Fabu have been ill. Fabu's pretty much over his now, though.
You mentioned you didn't think it was the right type of defense to stop what ASU was doing. What did you see, and what do you think the answer was?
Well, they should have tried to, just extend it more to get more in the shooter spaces. There were too many open looks, and you just can't do that. They played a lot of zone early. I think they were figuring Arizona State would try to go inside on them. But then in the second half, they did play some pretty tough man-to-man defense, at least against the perimeter game. And then Arizona State drove on them and picked up a lot of fouls and went to the free throw line quite a bit. No matter what they did tonight, it was just one of those games that just didn't seem like anything they did was going to work.
Mark, watching the game on TV, it appeared to me that Arizona State actually had the quickness advantage, and that's why I thought Coach Menzies went with the zone, and then he switched to a man defense with about 4 minutes to go in the half. Here's my point. The issues were, regardless of the defense they were in, Arizona State's perimeter was wide open. They just had too many open looks, like you said. How do you correct that part of it? It's the awareness that, for me, and the lack of recognition that has been prevalent throughout the year. They just got away with it against teams like Southern Utah and Northern Arizona and Cal State Fullerton.
Yeah, there are a couple things here. One is, they're going to struggle against athletic teams because they're not overly athletic themselves. I mean, you saw Southern Utah, beat them off dribble penetration. And,
yes.
And Southern Utah can do that. You can only imagine what these Power 5 teams are going to do, what Duke's going to do next week. So I agree with you. That's probably why they went to zone early. The other part of it is Vincey said after the game that
you know, they haven't had the physical practice they needed to have because they just haven't had the full team they've been put on the practice court. And he said it showed tonight. And so they think they'll be able to do that, like I said, this upcoming week with a whole week to prepare. I don't think he'll, you know, frankly, it won't make that much of a difference against Duke. But what, you know, but maybe they can show some improvement that will help them down the road. But obviously against Duke, you know, they're going to face a team that's going to, you know, be able to do much damage in many more ways than Arizona State could even think of doing.
Dwayne Morgan fouled out with about 11 minutes left. He'd been improving for the most part, at least in that regard of his game, throughout this season. Do you think this step back tonight is what we're going to see from him from now on, the old Dwayne, or do you think today is just kind of a blip on the radar?
Yeah, it's hard to know. I mean, he didn't have terrible numbers. He finished with 11-9. You know, so he almost had a double-double. You know, I mean, there was one foul call. I think he already had two fouls at this point, if I'm remembering correctly. And he got a foul call early in the third or early in the second half that he really questioned. Mizzy seriously questioned. So I kind of wonder sometimes if officials aren't looking for things with him. You know, because I think officials do that with certain players. The guys they knew pick up on a foul, I think they look to call things. So I think he kind of got a little bit of that tonight. And then once he picked up that foul, then, you know, the others came pretty quickly. I think he got all frustrated at that point.
That's the part that bothered me, Mark. Yeah. He picked up his third foul when he bit on the Trey Holder pump fake at 18:43. But then a minute later, he gets his fourth foul on an over-the-back call. And so if he has the awareness that the officials may understand he has a proclivity to commit fouls, they may have a quick whistle with him. Doesn't he have to be aware of that? Because 5 minutes later, he didn't move his feet when beaten off the dribble, gave up a layup. He would have been better off just getting his hands up and staying back. Got his fifth foul, so he had three, with 11 to go in the game. So, therefore, he had three fouls in about 6.5 minutes, and that's the lack of awareness aspect that I find bothersome. And I think that's sort of what John was asking. Is this something that can be corrected, or in the heat of battle, does he just not think?
No, I think it can be worked on. You know, I think we've seen improvement in that regard. He's played in foul trouble in, what, three or four games this season where he didn't foul out.
Against Southern Utah, Northern Arizona, and Cal State Fullerton and UCR. Yes. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I want to put this in perspective. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying he found a way to stay in those games and play more smart basketball. Tonight was definitely a step back in that regard, but I think the fact that he was being able to do it before should provide some hope that he can do it again. Now, I do think it's going to probably be an ongoing issue. I mean, he's probably going to have games like tonight where he gets frustrated, and you know, I just think that that's something that Miz is going to work with him on.
What did Marvin have to say about the multiple traveling calls?
Yeah, believe it or not, he wasn't asked about that afterward because we were focused on other issues. So, you know, it was one of those games where there's so many things to talk about that we actually never got to that one.
Well, what'd you think, Mark?
You know, those are enforced errors. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's one thing when a guy just locks you up defensively, but that wasn't the case. I mean, when you're traveling, that's all on you, you know. I think it goes back to what Menzies was saying about they just weren't prepared the way he wanted to be, and also he just didn't like their way they were not mentally in this game, and he let them know afterward that this is unacceptable, and that was the clearest indication right there that mentally they just weren't there tonight.
Mark, how much of that was heading into a Power 5 Pac-12 conference team, Wells Fargo Arena? It's not a big arena, but it's a different dynamic. The lights are just a little bit brighter. Did you notice in person there that perhaps there was a bit of a deer in the headlights aspect, or is that perhaps not fair?
No, I don't think so, because if you remember, they came out and scored the first 4 points.
Right.
So, you know, if they'd had that, I think they would have gotten in an immediate hole, and they didn't. They actually came out, and as they've done, you know, throughout the season so far, they came out pretty strong. But then Arizona State started hitting its threes, and the next thing you know, Arizona State's kind of rolling. I think it's once Arizona State got on the roll, and it wasn't a deer in the headlights thing. It was more of a frustration, like, you know, sort of hanging their head sort of thing. That's what crept in at that point. And Tyrell Green was very honest about that, about how guys at certain times just look defeated. And, you know, you see this one guy from Arizona State, Cody Justice. I think it's Cody Justice, top of the key, you know, throws up a shot that bounces off the glass, bounces off the rim, and drops in, you know.
At that moment,
that's when you know it's just not your night.
That's right.
Me and Bernie have been toying with the theory that this might be a reality check for this team. You know, this is the team that you saw tonight. This is what you're going to see against Power 5 conference opponents and just generally against talented teams. Do you think that this is a reality check in the sense that this might be the team we see against top-tier opponents?
Yeah, I do. And I thought that going in tonight. I didn't think they'd get pounded like this. I actually thought they might give Arizona State a little bit of a game. I figured Arizona State was going to win, but I figured it would probably be in the 8-9 point range. Yeah, I mean, this is the type of game I expect them to play against Duke, Kansas, and Oregon, frankly. Obviously nothing's changed my opinion on that. They're just not at the level yet where they can compete with those teams. You know, And so you got to look at the other games. You got to look at Incarnate Word. You got to look at Southern Illinois, is if you're going to look for them to pick up some victories. And then, you know, they're fortunate because the Mountain West is just so awful that they can get some wins in conference, and maybe they can kind of get something going in conference play and give them something to positive end the season on. But, you know, they're not going to get a lot of positives this month.
So, Southern Utah game, Uche's a late scratch because of the flu. Chris apparently has the flu tonight. And this is a serious question. If you're Marvin Menzies, do you make Chris sit by himself on the ride back and just be like, look, man, we cannot get you to get anybody else sick because it's going around the team?
You know, it's funny you said that because I was looking on the bench before the game and he was sitting right in the middle of all his teammates. So I was thinking, is that really a good idea?
Yes,
you know, no, I'm completely with you on that. And I'm a germaphobe, so believe me, I think about this stuff. If I'm one of his teammates, I'm like, you know, you take the back of the plane, you know, or we'll get your own ride back. No, they do need to be aware of that. They need to be, because, it's obviously gone from one player to the next. So, you know, you don't need Jalen Poizner going down next. So, that's how things are, you know. So these guys are out there sweating together and, so it's something I think they need to be aware of.
Wrapping it up with Mark Anderson, Las Vegas Review Journal beat writer, attends all the teams' games home and away. Was at Arizona State tonight. Rebels fall 97-73. Mark, final question for you: Chekna Dembele, Christian Jones. Will we see either one of them on the floor next Saturday against Duke?
Yeah, I mean Dembele played 5 minutes tonight, and Mizzy said he's going to try and get him up to 10 minutes against Duke and keep easing, increase his miss, and hopefully by conference play have him playing 20-25 minutes. Jones is out for a while.
Okay.
You know, he's still in the boot. The several weeks, who knows what that means, but I think it's later rather than sooner that he comes back. If he comes back, I'm more encouraged now than I was about a week ago when I saw him in practice where he couldn't put weight on it. But now he's actually walking around in the boot, so maybe it's healing. But I just don't think he's coming back anytime real soon.
All right, Mark, thanks for taking time out tonight. Appreciate you joining us. We'll catch up to you next week after the Duke game.
Sounds good, Bernie. Thanks for having me on, and JVK.
All right, that was Mark Anderson, Las Vegas Review Journal. Rebels fall tonight, 97-73. We're going to take a real quick break. We come back on the other side. We'll wrap up the show and look ahead to next week. Don't go away. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Text the show by sending ESPN to 69187 or give us a call at 364-1100. This is Rebel Extra.
Back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Bernie Fratto, John Von Tobel, Mark Seidel producing tonight. Rebels fall at Arizona State, 97-73. The record, 5-3 on the season. John, what are your final thoughts tonight? You've got the floor.
Disappointing loss. I'm with Mark, and I think I'm with you along with the process of they were probably going to lose this game before, obviously, is what I thought, but not the way they lost tonight. The large margin, the constant three-point barrage, the fact that they couldn't close out on shooters. I'm just getting ready for a rough game or a rough stretch here, man, because you have today and then obviously Saturday, T-Mobile Arena, Duke, and that's not going to be any easier.
The key for me is the Rebels have 6 games left to figure out who they are, build on their strengths before what is going to be a difficult start to conference play.
Yeah, it's definitely.
You start out at Colorado State, Moby Arena, always a tough place to play. You know, in between Larry Eustace sipping his Diet Coke, he's got that diabolical mind working, and that's going to be a tough opener December 28th. Then home Saturday, New Year's Eve day, 2 o'clock tip, first home conference game against Wyoming, who beat a very good Northern Iowa team today. They're better than their record shows. Then after that, you've got Boise State, then back-to-back road games, Utah State, New Mexico, then San Diego State. So you've got six tough games out of the stretch. The Rebels have six games left to get ready for those all-important conference games. And my great concern is the repeated flashes of immaturity, lack of awareness, lack of recognition that led to all those three-pointers.
But I like Marvin Menzies as a head coach.
1,000%.
And so I think he'll be able to coach these guys up. And, you know, he's got a whole week to work with or to work on Duke and to get them to fix their issues that they had today. And so I got faith that Marvin will take them back. They'll watch some film. He'll coach them up. And then, obviously, improved isn't really the great – you're not going to see a great improvement against Duke because the score won't necessarily change, but there'll be an improvement, I think.
Should be a lot of fun next Saturday, 2 p.m. The Duke Blue Devils come in.
I think we're about to die, Bernie.
Get a chance to see. yeah, save that for after the show. You got to admit, it'll be a kick to see. Something tells me you're probably not a Grayson Allen fan.
No, oh no! Great. Call him Grayson Allen Cruz because he looks like Ted Cruz.
He does look like Ted Cruz.
Looks like
he denies
his illegitimate son.
Yeah. He denies it.
There's no denying it.
There's no denying it. He does look a lot like him. All right, that's going to do it for tonight's edition of Rebel Extra. He's John Von Tobel. I'm Bernie Fratto. Mark Seidel produced tonight's show, and the Rebels fall to a physical, opportunistic, hustling, three-point shooting, Bobby Hurley team, 97-73. But we get to do this again next Saturday. Less than 500 tickets remain for the game at the T-Mobile Arena against Duke. Please, scoop those tickets up. Be out there. You know, years from now, you'll be one of the 30,000 people that said you were there. So why not just show up and actually be there? That's going to do it, folks. I'm Bernie Fratto, bidding you good night. As I said, next up for the Runner Rebels, a date Saturday, 2 p.m. at the T-Mobile with the Duke Blue Devils. In the meantime, tonight's final score, UNLV. Well, let me try that again. Arizona State Sun Devils, 97. UNLV Runner Rebels, 73. Good night, folks. Drive safely and go Rebels.